This is not by any means my first book. In fact, literature, and especially the writing of history, which as a young man I studied here at Rome under the best contemporary masters, was, until the change came, my sole profession and interest for more than 35 years. My readers must not therefore be surprised at my practised style. It is indeed Claudius himself who is writing this book, and no mere secretary of his, and not one of those official analysts either, to whom public men are in the habit of communicating their recollections, in the hope that elegant writing will eke out meagreness of subject matter, and flattery soften vices. In the present work, I swear by all the gods, I am my own mere secretary and my own official analyst. I am writing with my own hand, and what favour can I hope to win from myself by flattery? I may add that this is not the first history of my own life that I have written. I once wrote another, in 8 volumes, as a contribution to the city archives. It was a dull affair by which I set little store, and only written in response to public request. To be frank, I was extremely busy with other matters during its composition, which was 2 years ago. I dictated most of the first 4 volumes to a Greek secretary of mine and told him to alter nothing as he wrote, except where necessary for the balance of the sentences or to remove contradictions or repetitions. But I admit that nearly all the second half of the work, and some chapters at least of the first, were composed by this same fellow, Polybius, whom I had named myself when a slave boy after the famous historian, from material that I gave him. And he modelled his style so accurately on mine that really, when he had done, nobody could have guessed what was mine and what was his. It was a dull book. I repeat, I was in no position to criticise the Emperor Augustus, who was my maternal granduncle, or his third and last wife, Livia Augusta, who was my grandmother, because they had both been officially deified, and I was connected in a priestly capacity with their cults. And though I could have pretty sharply criticised Augustus's 2 unworthy imperial successors, I refrained for decency's sake. It would have been unjust to exculpate Livia, and Augustus himself, in so far as he deferred to that remarkable and, let me say at once, abominable woman, while telling the truth about the other two, whose memories were not similarly protected by religious awe. I let it be a dull book, recording merely such uncontroversial facts as, for example, that so-and-so married so-and-so, the daughter of such-and-such who had this or that number of public honours to his credit, but not mentioning the political reasons for the marriage, nor the behind-the-scene bargaining between the families. Or, I would write that so-and-so died suddenly after eating a dish of African figs, but say nothing of poison or to whose advantage the death proved to be, unless the facts were supported by a verdict of the criminal courts. I told no lies, but neither did I tell the truth, in the sense that I mean to tell it here. When I consulted this book today in the Apollo Library on the Palatine Hill, to refresh my memory for certain particulars of date, I was interested to come across passages in the public chapters which I could have sworn I had written or dictated, the style was so peculiarly my own, and yet which I had no recollection of writing or dictating. If they were, by Polybius, they were a wonderfully clever piece of mimicry. He had my other histories to study, I admit. But if they were really by myself, then my memory is even worse than my enemies declare it to be. Reading over what I've just put down, I see that I must be rather exciting than disarming suspicion. First, as to my sole authorship of what follows. Next, as to my integrity as an historian. And finally, as to my memory for facts. But I shall let it stand. It is myself writing, as I feel. And as the history proceeds, the reader will be the more ready to believe that I am hiding nothing, so much being to my discredit. This is a confidential history, but who, it may be asked, are my confidants? My answer is, it is addressed to posterity. I do not mean my great-grandchildren or my great-great-grandchildren. I mean an extremely remote posterity. Yet my hope is that you, my eventual readers of 100 generations ahead or more, will feel yourselves directly spoken to as if by a contemporary, as often Herodotus and Thucydides, long dead, seem to speak to me. And why do I specify so extremely remote a posterity as that? I shall explain. I went to Cumae, in Campania, a little less than 18 years ago, and visited the Sibyl in her cliff cavern on Mount Gaurus. There is always a Sibyl at Cumae, for when one dies, her novice attendant succeeds. But they're not all equally famous. Some of them are never granted a prophecy by Apollo and all the long...